This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and online at kexp.org. Our guest this morning is Rob Dietz, Executive Director of the Center for the Advancement of the Steady State Economy. Rob Dietz is here today to tell us about the problems with economic growth and to discuss the benefits of a steady state economy. Welcome, Rob.
Thanks, Diane. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you.
Oh, thank you.
Would you like to say a few words about the Center for the Advancement of the Steady State Economy?
Sure. We like to abbreviate it CASE because it's quite a mouthful. But the idea behind CASE is that we're an organization that takes an honest look at economic growth and analyzes it. And what we've realized is that economic growth isn't necessarily the public good that everyone thinks it is, and that there is an alternative, the steady state economy, to a perpetually growing economy. And so we like to think of ourselves as this organization that is realistic, that will study the issue and report to the American public the truths about economic growth.
What is the problem with economic growth? What are the downsides?
Well, there are a lot of costs of economic growth. Unfortunately, we've focused on the benefits for a long time, but like any activity with benefits and costs, you have to look at the point where the costs might outweigh the benefits. And probably the most important cost of growth is the erosion of ecological systems and the life support systems that they provide. An example of that would be the climate change that we're facing. You know, economic growth is largely fueled by the burning of fossil energy resources, and that's breaking our climate regulation, that ecosystem service that's been provided. Other services like the production of soil, water purification, provision of clean air, these things are the foundation of our economy and, of course, the foundation of life on the planet. And as economic growth begins to disrupt those systems, we feel the effect, and it's something that we need to look at for our long-term prosperity.
Are there additional downsides to economic growth besides the ecological ones?
Certainly. What I would call a more observable level, you can see some downsides to growth just in quality of life. Examples would be the congestion on our roads, the crowding of our cities. You know, economic growth tends to change our landscape. And I think we can understand that there's a limit to how much land we can convert into cities and suburbs and farms. The ultimate limit would be the sum total of land that's available out there. But we start to hit costs long before we reach a limit like that. And you can see it really around the world. I think the most readily observable part of that would be the water shortages that a lot of communities are facing and the lack of access to clean water.
Would you like to underscore the difference between economic growth and prosperity?
Certainly. Economic growth is often confused with economic development. Growth is really about size, you know, getting bigger. Development is about getting better, advancing. You know, there's a lot of analogies, I think, that work well. You know, a human, for example, starts out life very small. We grow physically, you know, up through adolescence, and then we stop with physical growth, but that doesn't mean that personal development can't continue. And that's the same idea with an economy. Yes, for a while, it's good for an economy to grow, but once the costs of that growth start surpassing the benefits, it's better to stop the physical size growth and switch over to a path of development. And that's really a difference that I think the American public largely doesn't see anymore. I mean, all of the mainstream media, all of the reports you hear from politicians, from businesses, are all about growth, and we've largely confused it with development.
Well, you're proposing a steady state economy rather than one that's based on economic growth. What are the characteristics of a steady state economy?
Well, a steady state economy is one that features stable population, stable consumption, and stable throughput of energy and materials. Now, when I say stable, I'm not talking about it has to remain at some exact number. It's actually, you know, something that's mildly fluctuating. But all of those things, the population and consumption and throughput of resources, we would want all of that to be at a level that meets human needs without trashing the productive capacity of the planet. And there are four basic rules that you look to follow in a steady state economy. The first rule is that you maintain healthy ecosystems, you know, the life support system of the planet. The second And it's very hard to refute these rules. The second one is that you would use renewable resources, things like fish and timber, at a rate no faster than they can be regenerated. Another rule is that we use non-renewable resources, things like oil and some of our aquifers, no faster than we can find renewable substitutes for those. And then a final rule has to do with wastes, and that's that we would deposit wastes in the environment no faster than they can be assimilated. And you can certainly look at what we're doing with CO2 emissions right now and see that we're breaking that particular rule. But those are the basic, what I would call, system conditions for a steady state economy.
And how would the distribution of wealth look in a steady state economy?
Yeah, well, one of the things that proponents of growth over the years have suggested is that, you know, the idea is that we don't have to worry about how to divide up the pie if the pie is always expanding. Well, in a steady state economy that respects the physical and ecological limits that are given to us, the pie would reach an ultimate limited size. So the question of distribution does come up. And what we would have to look for is a way to make sure that people have equal opportunities to the wealth that's out there. And so there would be limits on the inequality in wealth. You couldn't have the distribution that we have now, where the very top of the pyramid controls the majority of the wealth. And, you know, there are many options and ways to figure out how to distribute wealth. And that would certainly be an interesting public debate once we've decided that growth can't continue forever.
How would quality of life be affected in a steady state economy compared to what we have now with economic growth?
Yeah, I think quality of life would actually improve in a steady state economy. Part of the problem with continuing with growth is that we always face these problems and we have to find technical ways or political ways to overcome them. Well, when you stop growing, you don't have to deal with those problems, and you can start working on other problems or start working on developing the arts, the spirit, the, you know, our own health. And one of the interesting things that's been going on lately in the research is this study of happiness. And what you can see is, looking at the correlation between economic growth and happiness, it's kind of an interesting story. Certainly, you can look at the GDP, the income that countries have, and plot them out on a graph with how happy their citizens are. And what you notice when you look at that plot is that, yes, the two are related. You know, if you don't have enough income to meet basic needs, you're not going to be as happy as someone that does. But what happens is that after a certain point, that income no longer provides additional happiness. So what it looks like is that once you have enough income to meet those needs plus some comfort, increasing the national income, rising GDP does not lead to a happier, more satisfied set of citizens. And so a steady state economy recognizes that fact, that income isn't everything, you know, money isn't necessarily happiness. And what we try to do is to figure out, yeah, what's the level that does meet needs? What is the amount of income that a society needs to meet its quality of life standards?
I'm Diane Horn, and we are speaking with Rob Dietz, Executive Director of the Center for the Advancement of the Steady State Economy. Our topic is the problems with economic growth and the benefits of a steady state economy. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. How would jobs be affected by a steady state economy?
This, to me, is the really big question. Right now, the whole reason that we have this, I'd call it an obsession with growth, is because the way the economy is structured, when you don't have growth, people lose their jobs. And, you know, that's why politicians urge us to go shopping. It's why the Federal Reserve lowers interest rates and why we're pumping money into all these banks. The idea is to stimulate more consumption, which in turn provides more jobs. Well, that's putting us in this terrible dilemma. Growth creates jobs, but as we've already discussed, it pushes up against limits and threatens the life support functions of the planet. So we're kind of looking at this terrible decision. Which way do we go? Well, the answer to the dilemma is to change the structure of the economy so that it doesn't require growth. Herman Daly is he's a personal hero of mine. He's a professor of economics. Some would call him the dean of ecological economics. And he's got this interesting analogy. He compares the growth economy to an airplane. You know, an airplane is designed for forward motion. And if you try to hover an airplane, it immediately falls out of the sky. Same with the growth economy. If you try to hover it, it results in all this disaster. You know, people losing their jobs, their homes. We certainly learned our lessons from the Great Depression. A steady state economy, though, you can liken it to a helicopter. It can hover, it's designed to hover, and it causes no problems when it stands still. And so the whole idea of dealing with that dilemma of, are we going to deal with job loss or are we going to deal with an environment that gets trashed? The way to do that is to change the structure of the economy so that it no longer requires growth. And remember, one of the features of a steady state economy is stable population. If you've got a stable population, there's no longer this need to be constantly updating jobs. You don't have to always add to the supply of jobs. And so what you can focus on then is better jobs rather than more jobs.
So population levels are really key in having a steady state economy. That seems like a challenging thing to accomplish.
Yeah, it's extremely challenging. I mean, you know, in the past few decades, discussing population has been kind of a political third rail. It gets a lot of scrutiny and a lot of intense debate. At CASI, we don't propose specific ways to control the population, but what we do feel is that it is something that should be raised up in the public debate and discussed. You know, there are terrible ideas for population control, and we certainly wouldn't support those. But there are fair ways to get at it and reasonable ways, and that's something that I think certainly we would be interested in being a part of that discussion and seeing that discussed in our federal government, in our schools, basically in the public.
What led to your personal interest in promoting a steady state economy?
Gosh, I came at this. I studied economics as an undergraduate, but I was also a double major. I was involved in environmental science. And it's funny, the economics, it didn't mesh well with what I was learning, you know, more in the physical sciences. But I kind of put that on the back burner, and I went off about my career. I was doing environmental policy, and I eventually found my way into the federal service, was working with the U.S. Geological Survey and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on conservation issues. I was trying to help do some long-range conservation planning for the National Wildlife Refuge System. And in the course of my job, I met Brian Check, who is the founder of CASI, and he started hitting me with this steady state economics idea. And I didn't quite buy it at first. I think I'd been pretty well indoctrinated on the standard economics and the idea of economic growth. But from those initial discussions, I started checking it out. I started reading Herman Daly's books. And the more I looked into it, the more the facts were staring me in the face, I realized, yeah, we cannot infinitely grow the economy on a finite planet, and we need to start looking at other models. And ever since then, I've been convinced and been trying to work towards creating that better model of an economy.
What steps do we need to take to move towards a steady state economy?
Well, there are a lot of good policy options available to us. Right now, all the levers are set for growth. You know, all of the monetary policy, all of the tax policy, these kinds of things we can start to change immediately. But we do need to start looking at other policies. To me, this probably comes from my background in conservation, but one of the very number one things that we ought to do is start looking at revamping how we conserve ecosystems and work towards representative conservation, making sure that we're conserving all the different kinds of ecosystems that are out there and making sure that we have big enough chunks that it actually does the job to provide those ecosystem services we've been talking about. You know, another policy is, remember I said that a steady state economy features a stable throughput of energy and resources. So setting a cap that's based on ecological and physical limits, and then, you know, you can do some kind of auction or trade system for your basic resources. You know, they're certainly in the news now talking about that with a carbon system. You know, another possibility is some tax reform. We could start taxing bads instead of goods. You know, we focus our taxes on things like income, but we could focus it on pollution And probably my favorite one for policy change that might help take us in the direction towards a steady state economy is to make our work hours more flexible. And we've kind of gotten geared up in the rat race and always competing, always running around. But some people would gladly trade more time for if they could get it. So I think making that part of our economic system and part of how we, you know, codify it in the laws would definitely help.
What do you see as the key problems in making the transition to a steady state economy?
Well, there are a lot of problems. The very biggest challenge to me is that people don't understand the conflict between economic growth and protecting the environment and national security and other societal goals. And it's largely because our media, our politicians, our business people, they're always promoting growth as the answer to our problems. And we've largely grown to believe that. And as I said before, we've confused growth with development and with progress. And so now we, you know, an attack on growth is deemed as an attack on progress. So the very first challenge is overcoming that perception, is getting people to understand that economic growth really just means an increase in the production and consumption of goods and services. And that's all that it is. Very simply, we're trying to get more stuff, more economic activity, and that's not always the answer. So that's really the very first challenge. And of course, the other challenge that we've already talked about is we're in this dilemma where we need growth to have jobs, to have a healthy economy. So it's going to take some very careful thought in how we make this transition.
Do you have some ideas about how to ease the transitions in regard to the jobs issue? Because that seems to be a reason that a lot of people have lost their jobs now, is we suddenly don't have economic growth.
Yeah, well, one of the things that gives me some hope in this time, you know, nobody wants to go through a crisis. It's terrible for the families that are thrown out of work. You hear stories about people losing their homes. I've certainly seen neighborhoods where it seems like every other house has been foreclosed. But a crisis like that does offer an opportunity, you know, and it gives us a chance to start working on that transition without inflicting more pain, I guess, than we're already in right now. So I think the timing of it is really key for this transition, is to start working on those policies now so that we can come through this crisis and then be in this healthier position at the end of it, rather than poised for more growth, which we know in the long term is not going to be the answer and won't provide for a healthy society.
You are listening to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Rob Dietz, Executive Director of the Center for the Advancement of the Steady State Economy. Our topic is the problems with economic growth and the benefits of a steady state economy. Do you feel that the receptivity to the idea of a steady state economy has changed following our current economic downturn?
It has. CASI is a pretty small organization, and we do what we can to get the message out. But we've certainly seen an uptick in the number of people visiting our website, which is www.steadystate.org. And we've seen just basically more people when I talk to them or when others that are affiliated with us talk to people that they're much more interested in the idea of a different model or a different approach to the economy. And I think a lot of people are also, this crisis is making people a lot more literate. They realize that the economy affects them day to day. And the structure of that economy, it really has a bearing on our families and on our community life. And so, yes, people are much more interested in a different model than the one that's brought us to this point of crisis.
What types of people or groups seem to be most supportive of a steady state economy at present?
Well, at present, I'd say it's the groups that have been thinking about these issues. There's a group called the Transition Towns Network that's looking at, well, what happens if we have to power down somewhat? Or, you know, how can we have a healthy community that isn't always about more stuff? So a group like that definitely is interested in a steady state economy. People that I would consider sustainability thinkers would be another. One of the main things that CASI does to get the word out about the steady state economy is we've got a position on economic growth. And it largely points out the conflicts between growth and the environment. And it proposes the steady state economy as a desirable alternative to unsustainable growth. And we invite anybody to sign it, but we've gotten some of the best sustainability thinkers have been willing to lend their voice to this movement David Suzuki, Vandana Shiva, Bill McKibben, Wendell Berry, to name a few. But we also have all kinds of different organizations that support it, from businesses to nonprofit organizations to even professional societies, scientific societies. And it's a very diverse group. We'll have, for example, a mutual fund company. Portfolio 21 has endorsed our position on economic growth. You've got wildlife types of organizations. We've got small businesses. So it's a variety, and we're starting to see support from all different sectors.
What kind of response are you getting from people in public office?
Not much response. It's funny, there's another economist, Peter Victor, who's written a really good book called Managing Without Growth, Slower by Design, Not Disaster. And he's got a quote in there where he talks about the scope of change that we need to implement. It's pretty big. In fact, it's kind of daunting to politicians such that they won't even talk about it. And what's needed before they will is some widespread public support. And so that's really what we're trying to do, is bring about some understanding of the issue of growth and get that widespread public support so that politicians can speak about it. I know of only one example of a politician. This was somebody in Hawaii's state legislature who actually addressed the issue. And he was basically talking about, well, what do we want the island of Oahu to look like? We could turn it into Manhattan if we want. So, you know, he was kind of getting at this issue of how much growth can we support. And it's kind of funny because islands, you know, you tend to bump up against limits much faster. So it would make sense that that sentiment would come from Hawaii.
What types of groups or people tend to be most against the idea of a steady state economy?
Well, it's the groups that have that vested interest in growth. And, you know, you'll see some think tanks are out there that are promoting growth. But, you know, you can look at the OECD nations, the charter of the OECD. It's got economic growth written into it. And I guess I should say neoclassical economics, the dominant school of economics right now. The macroeconomic theories that they teach and promote are all about economic growth. So, you know, all of those groups are firmly entrenched against looking at the issue. And, you know, I should say that economic growth is not a black and white issue. Cassie doesn't take the stance that growth is a bad thing. It's dependent on the costs and benefits of that growth. And I think it's time for us to have those kinds of discussions to, as I've mentioned a number of times, to raise it up in the public debate.
How are the current efforts to address our economic downturn likely to affect movement towards a steady state economy?
Well, what I'm seeing in the current activities is it doesn't bode well for a steady state economy right now. I mean, we're really looking at trying to pump money into the system to get things growing again. That's really the focus of most of the policy. Now, there are a few initiatives going on that are exciting. Gross domestic product, GDP, is the marker for the size of an economy. And when it goes up, the business community, you know, government largely cheers. We've aimed at increasing GDP at about 3% a year. That's kind of been the de facto goal for economic growth. But there's been a lot of initiatives lately to look at other possible ways of measuring our progress or our prosperity. For a long time, it's been recognized that GDP doesn't do a very good job of charting our well-being. And so it's exciting to see real international cooperating initiatives, some with mainstream economists. Joseph Stiglitz, a Nobel Prize-winning economist, is heading up a commission to look at exactly that issue. Should we be measuring our progress in different ways? So I can't say there aren't any exciting things that are going on.
Where does CASE, or the Center for Advancement of a Steady State Economy, plan to focus its efforts over the next several years?
We will continue to focus on delivering two messages. One, the fact that there actually is a fundamental conflict between economic growth and protecting the environment. And the other is to promote this idea of a steady state economy and that it is a desirable alternative. It's actually what we want to aim for, to improve our quality of life, to improve the health of our planet, and largely to provide opportunities for the kids and the grandkids.
What do you see as the prospects for attaining a steady state economy over the next, say, 10 years?
Gosh, I don't know. My planning horizon's usually not that long, but I think we'll see substantial movement towards it. I mean, the one thing about growth is the bigger and bigger we get, the more problems we'll be bumping up against and the more limits we're going to have to try to deal with. And I think the more that that happens, the more people will realize, well, why are we doing this? What is the economy for? What is the purpose of it? And as we start to have those conversations and realize it, you know, it won't take long before we start working on a better model that meets our needs.
How can our listeners find out more and become involved?
Well, we certainly invite people to visit our website at www.steadystate.org. We also have recently launched a network of outreach volunteers. And so what we're trying to do is get people that are interested in this idea of a better economy, a more fair economy, to help us deliver that message. And, you know, we provide them with information and tools to go out and help us take that message to the public.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Well, I'd like to say that economic growth isn't necessarily the public good that's been pitched for the last few decades, that it brings us serious problems with maintaining the quality of our environment, with maintaining national security, the health of our ecosystems, and that there's a better model, that the steady state economy is the way forward to prosperity and to a better way to manage our economic affairs.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Rob.
Okay, thank you, Diane. It's great to be here.
We have just been speaking with Rob Dietz, Executive Director of the Center for the Advancement of the Steady State Economy. For more information, check on the web at www.steadystate.org. Again, that's steadystate.org. The Sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the Streaming Archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, selected Sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on Podcasting, and scroll down to Mind Over Matters Sustainability segment. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the Sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and kexp.org.